Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Attention Social Security and SSI recipients. If you did not receive an economic impact payment for your eligible spouse or dependents, you may need to file a 2020 tax return with the IRS and claim the recovery rebate credit. Go to ssa.gov/EIP to see if you need to file a tax return and if eligible for other refundable tax credits, like the child tax credit. That's ssa.gov/EIP. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya. Quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
No hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal.
Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet-O-Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Fatback 4 Daily for this Sunday night. Liverpool are champions of the world. I don't think I need to say any more than that, but Keith and Chris have joined me tonight and we'll have a nice little chat about it. About the game itself, what it means, how historic it is, and then of course we have three massive games coming up between now and New Year's Day. We get stuck into the whole lot, so look, here we go. Hello, good evening and welcome. And yeah, Liverpool, look, top of the world, top of the tree. Listen, what can you say? It's absolutely amazing. I've just unmuted the two lads so they can now talk, because I made an absolute mess of this podcast the other night, and a couple of lads, Keith in particular, he's a cheeky fuck, has not let me away with it. So here we go. Keith, I'll come to you first. Liverpool, champions of the world. Unbelievable.
Feels great, doesn't it? Top of the world. Hard fought win, now we have to say. Hard fought, but feels great being the world champs. You don't get to say it every year, although, you know, might be a pattern that we're starting, so who knows?
It's just, you know what, I was going into this, Keith, and I said it from the start, if we win it, we win it. If we don't, we don't. One of those. I just wanted to come back with no injuries. Now, it looks like Chamberlain's picked up an injury, and we'll get to that later, but as the game wore on there yesterday, I thought, you know what, no, I really want to do this now, because I could see I could see people like Everton fans going, we've got Ancelotti today and they've made a mess of this and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it kind of grew on me as the day went on. But a brilliant achievement and an achievement Liverpool have never got before. You know, it's brilliant, isn't it?
It is brilliant. And you could see in the players how much it meant to them. You know, I've said it before, there's been a snobbiness to this competition in the UK and in the media and amongst other fans. And you could see the players were mad for that tournament yesterday. You could see the celebrations. We all saw the Twitter and Instagram videos and all that. You know, you could see what it meant to them and they didn't take it lightly. You know what I mean? It was a very, very two tough games and they done well. And as you say, the key, get out without too many injuries, not too overworked. You know, we'll see what the impact is when we play Leicester next week. But all in all, yeah. Successful trip.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugely successful trip. Chris, what camp were you in? Did you really want to win it regardless? Or were you a little bit, was there a little bit of trepidation there where, you know, it's, Okay, we win it, but I want to just get back into this Premier League and not have any issues going into that, you know, starting with Leicester on the 26th.
I really wanted to win it, okay, because we've never won it before, and for probably the first time, in fact, it's the first time in my lifetime, I can, it's something where you could talk to your dad or your granddad going, do you remember the first time Liverpool won that? Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Whereas FNL, everyone you speak to, like your granddad, your uncles, your dads, they've seen it all before, in different guises, but they've seen you do it before. So this is the first time we could all say as fans, it's not talking about the 80s, it's not talking about the 70s, it is. We all saw Liverpool win this competition, which we've never won before. And yeah, there is a lot of snobbery around it, but I mean, I know he's not a popular person on this podcast, but even Alex Ferguson, when he won it, said, people don't think of it now, said this will be regarded as a big thing to win. Even he knew at some point this was going to be one of the big things to win. And I think it's one of those tools that in a couple of years' time is going to get more prestige. Ultimately, I know people say you play two games, but you've got to win the bloody Champions League to get into it.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a certain level of club you've got to play to get into it. And, you know, Flamengo, were really, really good.
Yeah, like...
Excellent the dark arts as well. So, yeah. And I thought we roasted that very well.
Kev O'Sullivan there says you can see how much it meant to Flamengo's players and fans. They travelled 22 hours in huge numbers. They were a good side. They were a good side. And I suppose, you know, Keith talks there about the snobbery towards the competition. I wasn't being snobby about the competition. I just have competitions in order of importance for me. And basically, it's the Premier League and the rest of them can piss off. That's the way I am.
Yeah.
Just because of the position we're in. Now, don't get me wrong. If we were to turn and get into, what is it, late January, early February, and we've a 15, 16, 20-point lead in the Premier League, the Champions League will then come right into focus. But, you know, I think you're right. In Europe, it's kind of, people can take it or leave it, but it's massive for the South Americans. Absolutely huge. You know, look, there's loads of comments coming in here. I will keep up with them as best I could. Chris Pross says the officials were dreadful. You know, I'll get on to that as well. Wacker Hussein says, Hendo and Gomez were class. We get through all the players as we go as well. But Keith, coming to you first, he puts out as strong a side as he possibly can, and that shows how important Klopp felt it to be when it came to this competition. Again, you know, Van Dijk, there was illness during the week, there was Willy won't he, but he was always going to play, wasn't he, if Klopp was taking this in any way serious?
Oh yeah, once he's fit, if he hadn't, it would have been the signal, wouldn't it? If he hadn't have playing, then you'd know really how serious we're treating it, you know, or not treating it, you know what I mean? Like, if he was kept out with a bit of a sickness, you know what I mean?
Mm.
The fact he's in there full strength, and you could say it, the intensity was there from the very first minute in that, the final, you know, right, the Flamengo got into it as the game went on, but we were bang up to that from the very first minute. And, yeah, you could tell by the strength of the team that went out, it was always going to be straight at it.
Yeah, no.
Which, you know, we needed to, you know, because after the Monterrey game, all right, that was a patched up side. It was a tough game, but you take into consideration, we'd only arrived there, not long after playing, all that sort of stuff. You know, both teams, Flamengo as well in their semi-final were in the same boat. But in the final, both teams were very good now, I have to say. Very good game.
Yeah, they stepped up a level. I think both teams, not that they took the other sides lightly, but they looked at it as a precursor to the final, you know. And I know that sounds like a very, you know, obvious thing to say, but they did, you know, if the final was Category A because who you're playing and what it means, this was probably Category B or C, even though it was a semi-final. It was dropped a couple of levels, and you could see that in Liverpool's team selection, I suppose. But, you know, Chris, when it comes down, when we start the game, Firmino has a brilliant chance, doesn't he, early on, and you're thinking, not that it'd be, could it be one of those nights, it was just, did it come a little bit too early? If we are 5, 6, 10 minutes into that game and that drops, does he bury it? A little bit cold, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, he's still in front of goal, he's not quite back to his sharpness. The one thing I like about Firmino at the moment is, for all the stick he's getting, and I think some of it's a bit over the top, is he's not hiding, ever.
Mm.
As in, that shot he had, he missed two good chances, didn't take them. And then even for the third, he does what Firmino does, is I'll take me touch, I'll take it around the keeper, and then I'll slot it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it probably maybe did come to a bit too quick. I mean, I still think he should do better with what he did. Same with the Keita chance a minute later, I thought he should do better with them. But you always feel Liverpool, it's not like 2 or 3 years ago where you think, well, if we don't score early, that's it, we're done for.
Mm. Kev says he doesn't buy the illness, more likely a few days rest. There was a talk of an illness, Kev. Genuinely, there was a talk at the start. When they got over there, there was a talk of the illness. Stephen Mack says, worst ref in the history of football. And he also asked, where is Grizz? Grizz was due to be on the show, but had to head off some personal things that he had to take care of, and that's absolutely fine. It's Christmas, and you know, when people are not available, that's absolutely fine. Any news on Ox, says North Red? I haven't had any updates. Chris, any updates on Oxlade Chamberlain?
All he's put on Instagram is, sorry, my ankle went roly-poly. Hopefully it'll be okay. Smiley face.
He's grand.
So he's sort of like going, I think it's one of those, I don't think it's as bad as he first thought. I must admit, when he was banging the floor, my initial reaction was, shit, that's his knee again. He's done it.
Yeah, he taught the exact same thing.
And it sounds horrible, but you know, as soon as he did the replay and he saw his ankle went like at right angle, there was a part of it went, oh, thank Christ, it's not his knee.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a sprained ankle or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know whether his reaction is, I'm hoping it's more of a, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm injured again. Oh, it's not my knee, is it? And it's always like, it looked like the physio's calming him down, but going like, you know, calm. It's your ankle. It's all right, you know. Can you stand at it? I think he probably gives himself a little bit of fear, which is perfectly understandable. The lad's had a horrific injury to come back from. So the hope is it's more of a sprain than any ligament damage, but it doesn't look too clever, unfortunately, for him. And I felt sorry for him because he hasn't quite caught a break at the moment with these very awful injuries he keeps picking up.
Yeah, Owen Neil says he reckons he'll be out for a month. Look, if we can get through this period, you know, especially up to say Everton in the FA Cup, and we can start getting Fabinho, Matip, Lovren, and Oxlade-Chamberlain coming back into the squad, it'll give us a big boost as well. We just need to focus and I suppose just manage these next three league games anyway, and then look where we are. I have a feeling we're going to just throw the FA Cup, and I don't care if it's Everton or not. I have a feeling we're going to throw it. Maverick says there, I hope people stop slagging off Joe Gomez. He's 22 years of age, and he's a class apart from most defenders of his age. It's, do you know something, Keith? And I won't go through the game chronologically, and we'll pick out little bits as we go, but this has fallen. I said this in our WhatsApp group earlier, Keith. I have a feeling this has fallen lovely for Joe Gomez. He's not being brought into this. He's being brought into the side because there is injuries, but it's not like injuries where it's Lovren could be back on Saturday or Matip might be back. It looks like them two are out, and he literally has a decent length of time to get into this team and assert himself in it again. And that might be good for his, you know, him in his own mind that I'm not just in here this week, I can really work on something here, because it's night and day between him and right back and centre half, isn't it?
100%. And I agree with you. It has come at a great time for him because he does need, his confidence was being so low. Not really even through any fault of his own. The whole thing with Sterling, with the England setup and all that, came at a terrible time for us and for him, you know. But this, as you said, Lovren and Matip, they don't recover too quickly from injuries either, you know what I mean? So he does have a chance to cement this place. And him and Van Dijk, they're a great partnership when he plays at the back. The pace, the recovery, you know what I mean? You've seen a couple of blocks that he put in there yesterday. And it could be a blessing in disguise nearly for us.
Yeah, he was my man of the match yesterday, Joe Gomez. But, you know, I'll ask you later. I think I just have mentioned the man of the match because what I have noticed about him in the last couple of games, and it's something that's gone out of his game over the last couple of games, and it's not being sold on a ball where he's trying to be too progressive and he's trying to be too front foot. He's picked his moments to intercept. He's picked his moments to stand players up. He's picked his moments to win headers. He's picked moments to stand off. He's managing his game a lot better, and that's got better and better and better ever since he's got that chance away to Bournemouth, I think it was, when Lovren went off in the first instance.
And he's been excellent since.
He has been excellent. And I've said it. Don't play him at right back because he's not a right back. Play him at centre half. But you need to pick the games to put him in. But this might have felt absolutely lovely for him because it's just a little, it's going to be, you're probably looking at another block of 4 to 6 games now where nobody's going to challenge him for that spot. And you can literally go, listen, I've played 8 games and we've won all 8 and we've conceded nothing, and me and Van Dijk are brilliant. And I know Van Dijk loves him. I know he loves
him. And it's what Matip done last season as well. Matip came into the team and just kept the place all the way through. Do you know what I mean? So it's the thing with Liverpool, and it is good with Klopp. It is a meritocracy thing, you know. When you get in there, if you don't let him down, you'll stay and enjoy that.
Yeah.
You don't let him down, and you'll stay in that team. You'll keep that jersey, and you know that's when you're in the team. Like, it must be a great thing to know. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've seen it before with players that they can be trying and they'll do well and they're not getting near the team. You know, under Rafa and that, those players that probably felt he never got a fair crack in the whip no matter what he done. But under Klopp, you know, if you go in, if you put the effort in, when we see Lallana is still getting game time, you know, because he puts the effort in training, and when he comes in, despite what fans might think, he doesn't let Klopp down. You know what I mean? Klopp gives him instructions and he follows it through. So,
no, it's a great way to walk. It is a great way to walk. And as I said, even though we're having injuries, if we can get players coming in and just being at the right level and continuing to build themselves up where they're, if you have 18 players that believe they should be in that side, you know, you'll always get 13, 14 to believe that, and you might get four others that are on the bench going, well, I'm kind of a sub, you know, that way. But if you can get 18 that believe that they want to be and should be in this side, it only breeds confidence, it only breeds competition. And again, the levels just go up and up. Kev O'Sullivan says he doesn't think Matip and Lovren are miles away. Gomez, knowing he's playing for X number of weeks, probably settled his nerves. I absolutely agree with that point. Let me see. Danny says, fully agree, man of the match, Hendo. Best game for Gomez in 12 months. Kate grew into the game. That's another player, Chris, that he's come into the side. There's a lot made over Keita. You know, you have to be on one side or the other. That's just the way it goes, social media wise. But he's grown, hasn't he? And again, just knowing that he's going to be in that side, and for the majority of it, when Fabinho's out injured, he looks to be coming on as well, doesn't he?
I thought that's his most balanced performance. I think we've seen the flashes like at Bournemouth and Monterrey, a little bit of what he can do going forward. You know, he's got goals. We've seen him do it against Genk. You know, that's what he can do. We all know that side of his game. This is probably the first game in a while where I thought he gave a real balance with Henderson, where he picked his moments to go. My big criticism of Keita has always been sometimes a little bit off the ball. I don't know if he presses at the right time and, you know, it's getting used to the system. But I thought that was the most complete performance I've seen from him. So I was more encouraged by that than the previous performance we've seen. My only slight nitpick with Liverpool, and I think the final was more of a needs must because of who was fit. Mm. I personally don't think Chamberlain and Keita in the central midfield works. I think we're too imbalanced off the ball. Every time we've played with those three together, it also seems like the DMs very heavily worked. I mean, Kate actually,
is it an imbalance with the way we play, or is it, for me, when I look at it, there's an imbalance there with two players that, for me, aren't the best tactically when it comes to defending. And when you double that up with both of them, I think it leaves us a bit stretched at times.
Yeah, that's why most people dislike the Genie situation or the Hendo, you know, the Brexit midfield, whatever you want to call it, is they give you balance, they give you cover, and that's the reason why Robertson and Trent look so much better. Robertson and Trent didn't get forward as much in this final as they do in most games. My gut feeling is generally you have to have two of Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum in your midfield. And then they're not luxury players, but the more slightly more advanced going forward players is one of Chamberlain and Keita. And I think it's a bit of a horses for courses. I think Keita gives you more balance, has got a really good relationship with Salah. But I think, Keita gives you more balance because he's got a good relationship with Salah. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain gives you an X factor in terms of he can score a goal from 30, 40 yards that you're not expecting.
Yeah,
no. I think that's the balance of that. It's a lovely problem to have.
It is a lovely problem to have, and it's probably a bit of needs must at the moment because of the players that are available. Putting Henderson back into the six, you know, I'm a fan of Wijnaldum there, but Wijnaldum's obviously injured, so we'll have to wait and see what they do. But I suppose putting Henderson, I'd like to see Wijnaldum there, and I'd like to see Henderson back in his normal position, and then pick one off Kate or Chamberlain. That's just the way I am.
I don't think anyone's playing the six now until Fabinho's back, other than Henderson.
I think it looks
like he's nailed that colours to the mast. I mean, look, fair play to Henderson. The difference with Henderson from 2 years ago and the six now is I think he's probably, partly because he's played more attacking a bit more over the last 12 months, but clever footballers do, I think he's learnt a bit of Fabinho is that, yeah, I can play as a six, but I can still get forward at the right opportunities. And you're starting to see that. And I think Henderson's starting to trust his game again. Because he's starting to do the more progressive passes that he's always had in his game. I think he had this thing in his head that if he's a six, you have to block it, keep it simple, keep it square. Mm. And you don't. If you can see the pass, you take it on. And I think he's finally got used to that idea of you know, like all players progress, all players develop, he's just realised, well, I know how to punch the through balls that I can punch through. I'm still going to do them. Mm. I'm just doing them from a slightly better angle or slightly deeper angle.
Yeah. There's loads of questions coming in here about where Minamino will fit in. You know, what do we think if we get to the end of the year unbeaten and stuff like that? I will get to that when we finish off with this game, because I do want to look at, you know, I suppose the next couple of games leading us up to the new year. I do want to look at Minamino coming in. So I promise I'm not ignoring your comments. I'm trying to keep them in mind when I get to later on in the podcast. Well, just on the last few bits on the game itself, there's two things, right? Keith, I'll come to you first on this one. Firmino gets the winner. You know, there's a couple of mentions. I was going to go through the likes of Alisson was really good. We've touched on Gomez and stuff like that, but Firmino gets the winner. And this time last week, we were having a little discussion, Keith, about, you know, I suppose Firmino, has he gone off the boil? Does he need a rest? Minamino coming in will be good. And he's just kind of turned around and said, no, I'm grand. I'll just score a last minute winner in the semi-final, and then I'll go and score the winner in the final. All's good.
Yeah, and he also had the chance to hit the post as well. Now, I know it was a bit of a scuffed effort, but the little flick over the defender was excellent as well, you know. I think, I said it last week, he's just tired, I think, you know what I mean? And if they can give him a rest, he's still having moments, even though he's not scoring goals. In the derby, like, he put Mason Holgate on his arse when he set up the fourth goal, you know what I mean? Like, he's still having his little moments in games, but if he can start getting a few goals, it'll get the doubters off his back, because yeah. I think he's excellent, you know, I'm a huge fan of, you know, and I think, I know everyone says, oh, he's the system. He is the system, you know, all his work allows the others to get forward and to, you know, he presses from the, puts him under pressure from, you know, as soon as they're getting the ball. I think he's just so underrated, but it's good to see him getting the goals. It's good that he's come back from this trip now and it's like, right, I've got the winning goals in the two games. Do you know what I mean? Puff his chest out, get the head up, great. Do you know what I mean? And it puts a bit of doubt that the fans might have had, which is what we're doing all the time, you know what I mean? You have a little doubt about something. They're not quick about, or they're not too long about sorting it out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, Salah's off form. Next thing you know, Salah's banging in goals. Oh, he can't score with his right foot. Yeah, all right, there's three buttes with the right foot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Every little niggly question, and that's the stage we're at now, you know? The little things, it's only little things we can moan about.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, I suppose, and we always go back to this, the Liverpool fans and their outlook and stuff like that has been damaged over the last 30 years, you know? Broken up, I suppose, by, you know, a couple of European Cups thrown in there, you know, winning three trophies in 2001. There's an FA Cup thrown in 2006. But there always is those niggles, and we'd be the first one to look and go, oh, we need to do something there. And we can probably go over the top with it, because in normal, like, put it this way, Keith, in a year's time, Firmino goes off the boil for five games, but we're champions of Europe, we're champions of England, we're champions of the world. We kind of go, he'd be grand. Stick someone else in there, he'd be all right. But right now, we're kind of going, no, this needs to be right. It needs to be fucking 110% from now till May 17th, and that's the end of it. You know, that kind of way. So it probably is an outlook, and we probably go over the top a little bit with it.
We could be 26 points clear with two games to go, and people will still be panicking that we're somehow going to make the balls of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so absolutely.
So I think, as you say, that's just in us. You know what I mean? And it's something that we have to get over as a fan base, because you see the...
I think it's being torn slowly, though.
Oh, it is, but still, that's what I was going to say, there's still that minority that are sort of, you know, looking to moan about everything, looking to pick holes in everything, and it's like, listen, lads, it's a great time to be alive now, you know what I mean? It's a great time to be a Red.
Go on, Chris.
I think until we win the big one, which is the one we all want to win, we're always going to have that. Because, unfortunately, even I have it, and I try to be fairly positive about Liverpool, but you always can't help that inner voice, the little fear. Because, unfortunately, me and Gav have talked about it before, said, it sounds daft, but you've been hurt by Liverpool in the past. It's not their fault, it's just the way it is. And it's very hard to not turn that little voice off now and again in your head. But most sensible people don't need to propose it on social media every 30 seconds.
Yeah, Jerry Cahill has the right idea. He just says, 14 more wins. If you ever have any doubt about Liverpool at the moment, just remember 14. 14 is the number until we win our next one. And then just keep counting 18. Down. Keep counting 18. Down. You want 18 for different reasons. But 14 does it.
Mine are more important, though.
No, they're not. I want to win the league. You just want to win mad amount of points.
No, I want to win the league and have the banter line.
Yeah, I know. You want the extra bits thrown in. Yeah, but 14 is the number. And just keep counting them down, lads. And when it turns around to the end of January and you're going, we only need 8, then you go, oh, this is grand. You know what I mean? Megan says January is a massive month for us. It is a massive month with the teams we're coming up against. But I was looking at something today, and I noticed that I think we play United and Spurs early enough in January. And with the way United are, and the way Spurs are, I have a feeling you've two managers there that are going to run their teams into the fucking ground over Christmas because it's needs must for them. And we'll pick them. We'll get them at a nice time in January. Just remember that. I just watching them two today, I just thought that they have no room for error and they may try rotate, but have they got the leeway to? I'm not too sure. But the last thing on the game, Chris, I'll stay with you. Andy Robertson, a lot of talk over Andy Robertson, right? So basically, I'm not going to go on to the referee because it was a fucking joke. The only thing I will say, it was a joke. Mane's taken down, and the only thing is if it's in the box, it's a yellow and it's a penalty. If it's outside the box, it's a red card and a free kick, right? That's the only thing you should be looking at. And he goes off and we end up with a drop ball. It's farcical, right? So I'm not going to get into it because I end up going down the VAR route and I end up getting very upset.
I think it's more farcical by FIFA is this is your world club final. This is the thing you're really pushing this. They're going to build it up. So why'd you put a 32-year-old in charge?
Not only that, you should have the fella that referees a World Cup final doing it.
Yeah, get the best one you can get. Now, if you don't want to, if you don't want a European or a South American referee for worries of bias, then find the best referee you can find from the other countries because it certainly wasn't that fella. So I thought, now we've won it. I do feel a bit sorry for him because it's not his fault he got picked.
Yeah, I know, but he still went to that screen and came up with that rule. So, look, Jerry Carl reckons he was on work experience. That's not a bad show. But the last thing, I want to get on to Andy Robertson, the last thing on the game, right? So basically, the stuff's going on with Rafinha. You see Andy Robertson basically telling Manny, you don't worry about it, I'll sort him out. And then he charges into him a couple of minutes into extra time, I think it was, yeah. And you know, it's one of those where I think it's brilliant, you know. And do you know what's got to me? I'm looking at fans of opposition teams and they're saying, oh, well, if that was the other way around, the Scousers would want a fucking protest and they'd want a petition to the government and all this sort of shit. And I'm kind of going, no, hold on. The stuff that was thrown at Liverpool for year on year on year, going back as many years as you like, was, yeah, they were pretty to watch at times. Yeah, they could hold on to the ball. Yeah, they could score goals. But they never had this mental state that they went into where I'm going to fight for that fella beside me. All the other 10 in the team, I'm going to fight for every single one of them right to the death. Okay. And nobody is going to stand over me and, you know, intimidate me. And now because we have these players in the team, other teams that threw that at us, and other fans of other teams that threw that arrows don't seem to like it now. It's a strange one, isn't it?
It's a soft underbelly we used to have. It was always the thing was, it's the thing Arsenal got now is, you can bully Arsenal. And yeah, you know you can bully Arsenal. Whereas now, there aren't many Liverpool, we used to know under Rafa, under Kenny, there were certain players we knew, do you know if you rattled them? Or if someone left not break legs, not nothing at all, like Robson did to Holgate, where he just left his arm on his shoulder, pushed it down a little bit, because he knows, right, Holgate's head will go now. And he can see him smile, and he goes, I've rattled him.
Oh, it was on Davis, but Holgate was there, wasn't it?
Yeah. But everyone, there's certain players you just know, if I just wind him up a little bit, his head will go. And, I mean, Andy at the moment seems to be the best one. I mean, the gif from the semi-finals is the funniest thing I've seen.
Yeah.
But we've got a few players that on the quiet, and he gets away with it more, because he's a very happy, smiley chap. Manny's one of the snidiest fellas we've got.
Yeah,
he is brilliant at the snide stuff.
Yeah.
Henderson's built that into his game a lot better. I think he's learnt a bit of Fabinho. Fabinho's got good at it. They're all starting to get to the point where you're thinking, I think it's a clock confidence thing, which is like, why should we be intimidated by you? You know, Rafinha, oh, you got me mate, but that's fine. Deal with me.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious, like that. He's on his way off, and Mane's on his way off, and Andy's in to say, don't worry, I'll sort him out. 11 minutes later, smashed off the ball. Brilliant. Because for long enough, Man United have had like Herrera for years, and I used to watch Herrera playing for them, and I'm like, I hate that bastard, I'd love him on my team. I'd love that type of character on my little Weasley shite that's thrown in boots, that's thrown in sneaky elbows, that riles up opposition and opposition fans. Now we've loads of them.
Yeah. But you see, City do have it, but the big thing
with,
is, right?
Silver.
The big thing is, when you look at, like, you know, Liverpool get penalties, so then Liverpool stop getting penalties, so they go on to something else. Then it was VAR will sort them out, and VAR hasn't sorted them out. And now it's luck, and it's not really luck. And now people are going, oh, well, they're being a bit heavy-handed here, and basically fans of other clubs have a problem with Liverpool, because Liverpool have the audacity to stand up for themselves and go, no, we are the fucking best, and we're going to show we're the best, and we're not only the best at football, but mentally we're the best as a team, we're so strong. You know, no, you're not going to intimidate anyone on this team. It's a bit like the time Vieira tried to intimidate Gary Neville at Highbury, right? And he picks on him, and he goes into the dressing room, and it's something said, and Keane comes out and says, who the fuck do you think you are? You know what I mean? And I'll show you out on this pitch now what's going on. And what happened? You know, he went out and won the game. A team of leaders, great to see, said Media 1980. It's absolutely spot on. Milner is greater as well, says Owen. Avo says, I've been told the drop ball was the correct decision. He blew the whistle before the ball had gone out, and because he thought it was a fair tackle, it's a drop ball. No, the procedure is correct, Avo. The procedure is correct. The actual decision is far from correct.
That'd be if there was no contact. There was clearly contact that decision, but whether it was inside or outside, debatable. I thought personally it was on the line, it should have been a penalty, but the drop ball thing, that's the new rule for VAR, but that's if there was no contact. There was obvious contact.
The decision overrules, or the actual happenings there overrules the decision, because it's clear to see, you know. Look, it's a brilliant achievement by Liverpool. Like, we're not...
Just off the game, only because he gets a lot of shit. Mm. But on the quiet, when Chamberlain went off, on the quiet, I thought Lallana, who I've not always been a big fan of in midfield, I thought he did really well.
He did the simple things
really well, which is he just kept the ball and kept it simple and basically let the better lads do what they need to do and pick these moments to run. Because we know he hasn't got the engine he used to have. Mm. I thought he picked his moments really well. So, you know, and I was pleased actually because, you know, obviously he didn't get on the Champions League final. So he's actually gone on to this final, actually contributed more in the final. Yeah. So I suppose he deserved a bit of a fair shout out because everyone's very quick to jump on him.
Mm. Well, I think he's a good sub to bring on in games, because he holds the ball up well, and you know, you can give it to him and it'll stick to him 9 times out of 10. You know, it's a good sub to bring in.
Yeah, no, he is a good sub to bring in. I wouldn't. There's certain games I wouldn't bring him on in. I don't mind if we're 2 or 3 nil up and you want to bring him on and rest legs and he can make an impact that way. I'm kind of at that stage with him. And it looks like he will leave the club at the end of the season. And I think the Minamino signing, although people think he's a backup for Firmino, I think he's maybe more of a forward planning replacement for Lallana. That's just my opinion. We'll have to wait and see. Megan reckons there should have been a free kick and a sending off. I agree with you. Let me see. Yeah, so look, it's an amazing achievement. It's the first time the club has ever done it. We're walking around now as European champions. We're walking around as Super Cup champions, World Club Cup champions. And listen, we're flying in the league, so I want to get on to that. So,
we're also the first club to win them 3 trophies back to back.
Yeah, so look, it's absolutely unreal. And the team have arrived back this evening, and hopefully a nice couple of days recovery, and then we get...
Love your propane grill? Well, life just got a little easier with Propane Taxi. Stop lugging that tank. Propane Taxi is a propane grill tank home delivery service that's ridiculously easy and convenient. Just go online, choose a delivery date, and Propane Taxi delivers grill tanks straight to your door. You can exchange any brand of tank. And right now, new customers get their first tank exchange for $10 with promo code TANK10. That's $10 for your first tank exchange with promo code TANK10. Visit propanetaxi.com. No contact, no commitment, no problem.
Going against Leicester. So, but Keith, 3 games, and you know me, I like looking in blocks of games and I like trying to think what will happen and stuff like that. I wasn't unhappy with City winning the other day. I would have liked in a draw just to give them both a kick, but I watched that and I thought Leicester were there to be got at. I thought they were very one-dimensional, but the one-dimensional worked at times with just balls down the side of City. City are so susceptible to pace, it's unbelievable. But looking at these games now, with Leicester away, it's Wolves at home, it's Sheffield United at home. People are coming on there saying, look, like Owen says there, very tough next 3 now, Leicester, Wolves, Sheffield United. Leicester is a big one. I don't know how much confidence has been knocked out of Leicester. The one with Wolves is, I think they play...
2 games in 48 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, they've 2 games in 48 hours for Wolves. And Sheffield United, although they're doing quite well this season, they're a promoted side, and you'd expect us to win. But Keith, going into this, what are you looking for? Are you looking for 9 out of 9? Are you thinking... what are you looking for?
Because
I don't want to give a team a sniff here, to be honest with you.
No, I certainly don't. I mean, I think the two home games... I'd be disgusted if we didn't get 6 points out of those two. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, we should be taking six of them. Leicester, I think, I agreed. They were good on a run against teams they should beat, Leicester. Mm-hmm. And then they've come up against City, and, you know, City's quality saw them through. Now, I know that was in the Etihad. Mm-hmm. Leicester had the chances to get at them, fair enough. And the fact that this is going to be at the King Power... they'll feel a bit more confident. Someone said, it could have been in the WhatsApp group, Gav, give them the ball. Just let them have it and see what they do, because they want to play on the break as well. Teams have done that to us for years. Mm-hmm. We counter-attack, there you go, there's the ball. Give it to Leicester. Let them see what they can do, you know what I mean? See, can they? And if we box clever, I think Shawnee said it, you don't know, as well. If we can box clever for the rest of this league season, no one's going to catch us. Once we keep our heads, and if that means going to Leicester and just saying, right, this is going to be a stinker. The only thing I'm worried about is whenever we went on a little warm weather break, we always stunk it out when we came back.
Yeah, but we've played games on this one.
And that's the difference. Yeah, we've played games, come back, we'll be a bit more hit the ground running. Mm. So, you know, I'd expect 9 out of 9, to be honest.
Yeah, listen, I'd love 9 out of 9.
I don't even think I'd be happy for 7, I think 9, you know.
If we beat Leicester, I think that should see Leicester's title challenge off, I would suggest.
Well, they're currently 10 points behind us. We have a game in hand. I think
if we get 13 with a game in hand, I'd fancy our odds then.
Mm. Okay. To be honest, they'll be happy with top four. Like, Leicester are just, I mean, they're overachieving, obviously, this season, and their target will be getting into that top four. But if we go, as you said there, Chris, if we go 13 ahead of them with a game in hand, it'll stop the media sort of trying to claim Leicester as a challenger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Wolves won't probably spell right for us, because they've got to play City at home first, and then they've got us less than 2 days later. Mm-hmm. I do think at some point that's going to take a toll, because Liverpool
City play on the 27th. Then do they?
Yeah, they play City. They play City at home on the 27th, and then they play us at home 2 days later.
They play now, us on City. Them, yeah.
One thing us and City do to teams, whether City play well or not, City make you run, and City make you work. And to have two, and we do the same, to have that twice in 48 hours, I don't care who you are, I think that's going to tell.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I think you box clever. I think that could be one of those Anfield games where it's a 0-0 at half time, and I think your fitness takes you through in the second half.
Yeah.
I would say Sheffield United is probably the toughest home game we've got, because they still haven't lost a game yet away from home.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable record. Chemical Kev says smaller teams might look to keep the goal difference down a bit, like Rafa has done, and, you know, torn up already beaten. Kev says 9 from 9 here with a game in hand. That will finish City mentally. They can get 90-plus points. No chance they're done, says Wacker. That's with regards to Leicester. Leicester aren't breaking 90 points, in my opinion. Stephen Mack, hand us over the league now. For fuck's sake, it's done. He's that confident. Owen says, game in Anfield, we dominate. Kev Vardy very quiet. Somebody else says, there, you stop Vardy and you stop Leicester. To be honest, I had both games on simultaneously yesterday, and I just couldn't believe that Leicester sat back so much. Madison didn't get involved in the game. They didn't even try to get, as a Harvey Barnes, they didn't get try to get him involved. They literally looked to win balls around midfield off City's attack and just hit the sides. And they'd done it 3 times, and you know, Vardy went to skip past Otamendi once and got into the box. He then skipped past Fernandinho down the side and scored. And then did another one as well where he went down the side. And it was literally, I was going, he's literally their only attacker. And two, City down the sides are just appalling. But Chris, you know, Keith says there he'd love 9 from 9. Me trying to plot this, I'm thinking, I take 7. And the reason I take 7 is, you go to Leicester after coming back from where you've been, you take your point, you go and you win your 2 home games, you're talking 7, so you're looking at, you know, you're looking at City being somewhere around 9 points behind you probably with a game in hand, presuming they win all theirs. You're looking at being 10 ahead of Leicester at least with a game in hand of them. That puts them over. So you're probably looking at going into the new year, if you include the game in hand as 3 points, as a 12-point lead after 20 games. Is that something you're looking at? Are you thinking, no, just make a big statement here?
I'm more looking at if we can get 9 out of 9. My thing is, I want us to still have, in an ideal world, a double point gap at the end of Jan, because I think that's our ridiculous tough run out the way. Because I think our January is horrible. You know, United, Tottenham. I think we've got Wolves away, plus the FA Cup, plus a potential another FA Cup fourth round if we get past the Ev. I think they're, you know, I think if you get to the end of Jan with a 10-point gap, still with this game in hand, because I think the rearranged game's not till February.
Yeah,
I think then that's when you start to, it becomes a lot more real, I would suggest.
Yeah. So are you taking 7 or do you want 9?
I want 9.
Okay, all right.
Well, I always want the big numbers.
I know, you both want 9. I think I'd settle for 7 because, do you know something? I get the feeling that if we take 7, I can't see any of the other two taking 9. Well, they can't because Leicester have to play us. And I just can't see City taking 9 either. I know they've improved and, you know, they have improved. They got beaten by United and I watch United today and my Jesus, they are fucking awful.
But United are like us a few years ago though. They are set up perfectly for a top 6 side who comes at them.
Yeah.
They're not, but then when team sit still and go on then, break us down. They haven't got, now, admittedly, I know they've got Pomper coming back now. I think that's probably what they need. They probably need some sort of flair in the midfield, which you ain't getting from McTominay and that. You know, the good pros, but they ain't got that sort of flair. Trust me, it was City. Have got. Yeah, I mean, to us, City's 3 games a week play are pretty similar. So I've looked at it.
Wolves have always been a bit of a sticky wicket for City, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Wolves got something out of that.
It would probably all depend the way they're going to try to do this, because they'll play on the 20th, they don't play on obviously the 26th, they're going to play on the 27th. They could put everything they have into that as a home game in front of their own fans. They don't want to come out with a weak inside. But then looking and turning and going, well look, we put everything into that. We've more important games coming up. We're going to Anfield. We played a really, really tough game, win, lose or draw. And we're going to Liverpool now and we probably do have to shuffle the pack a little bit. And although Wolves have improved and been brilliant last season and improved as this season's gone on, I still think their squad is quite light. I don't think they made enough signings to sort themselves out with regards to the Europa League. They've got into a nice run with the Europa League and the league. They found their feet, but this is a really tough period. So it might fall for us in that sense where they put everything in against City. If they were away against City and home against us, it could have been reversed, where they go with the City and say, listen, see what happens, but we're going to put everything on the pitch at home over the Christmas period against Liverpool. You know, you don't want to go out in front of your own supporters and nearly give the game up by using your squad. If anybody's watching this on YouTube, please hit the like button. Please follow us, please subscribe, hit the bell icon, you know, all that sort of stuff. All the likes help, because apparently someone's told me that if people like this video on YouTube, it gets shown to more people and suggested to more people and we get more Liverpool fans in here and we get talking. If you're on Twitter, share it onto your timeline as well, and again, we get more people on here and talking, because to be honest with you, the comments are brilliant and they probably throw up most of the topics to talk about as the time goes on. We have about 10 minutes, I'd say, left. So if you have any random questions, whether that be football, random football questions, just random questions for life. If you have an opinion on really hard Easter eggs and should they be allowed on football grounds, anything like that, you can absolutely throw them at us. People are probably watching for the first time. I'm wondering what's going on there, but there's a method to me madness. Let me see. Stephen Max says, Ole in, Pep out, Klopp 2024. He's just delighted. Stephen is one of the most optimistic people I know. Coupled with Christmas, it's just off the scales. If we get a draw at City at the Etihad, we win the league, says Wacker in his opinion. Stephen O'Connor says, Klopp has had to make changes to manage the busy Christmas period. I think we're going to prove even more from this point. Minamino is a huge plus. Keith, Minamino, I had you on last week. We were talking about him. I think Sean, you and Pete were on at the same time. But just looking at the way the squad is shaping up, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain might be an issue now. Do you reckon he could be a massive boost? I know it takes time for players to come in and hit the ground running, but with a team in such good form, could he be something that just comes in and just he just wings it for 6 months and finds out this is fucking brilliant? Could it be one of those?
Yeah, is there a better time to bring a player in like that, Gav? You know what I mean? You bring in a player coming in from the Austrian league, not a top league, Japanese player, might take a bit of time to settle in, but if you're winning the league, you're winning games. you can throw him in here and there. The pressure isn't on. You know, €7 million sign, a £7 million signing, not exactly a pressure of a price tag or that. Like, it's a no-lose transfer. And I think he'll come into the team. I said it to you that night, you know, we can play so many different positions. You know, we can plug him in. You know, it's not like he's a centre forward, right? Put him in. He doesn't score after 2 games. He's under pressure. You can put him anywhere. Oxlade-Chamberlain is out, no problem. We've got Kate that stepped up to the hockey there at the moment, and we've Minamino that can come in. You know, it's a great time. For so many years, we haven't, you know, you've been trying to force players in to get a bit of magic out of this fella. You drop him in, and what'll be, will be. If it doesn't work out, sure, it doesn't work out. He'll be there for next season. Do you know what I mean? Mm. The pressure doesn't, a little pressure on him. It's a great time to travel playing in.
Yeah.
Used to this as a Liverpool fan, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if we do go through these couple of games now with 7 or 9 points, and we do turn the new year into the new year, and we're looking at probably, say, between a 9-10 point lead or whatever, with a game in hand possibly, we're not bringing in a player scratching, looking for solutions to anything. We're just strengthening. And I think that's a massive thing. If he comes in there and the squad is still buzzing, flying, so confident, it's huge for him to come in and go, this is easy, rather than coming in with a bit of weight on his shoulders, which I don't think he will. Somebody says there, Grizz said that we are getting Sancho. It looks like Chelsea are getting him for $120 million. Says Jono.
They could have him.
I don't know if Grizz said we are getting Sancho. I think he said we are very interested. I think the interest may go out the window of $120 million is the number. Media says, let Chelsea have him, not worth that much. Klopp will be targeting better. Northred says he plays the Everton for me off the bench. That's Minamino, of course. What do you think of the Arsenal fan TV situation? Says Owen. Two people have asked about that. I've seen those videos.
You see the response video for Robbie Lyle?
I haven't seen the response video, so you've seen more than me, so I give you the floor. Go.
Yeah, from what I understand from Robbie Lyle's point of view was, it was about 15, 20 fellas who seemed to be wanting to start this chance of get Arsenal out of our club. They wanted to start a little bit of a fight before they did the fan camps. Mm-hmm. And then they all disappeared very quickly. Mm. So it did seem a little bit like a couple of lads that just wanted to
pre-rehearse.
Trying to make a name for themselves on the back of Arsenal fan TV, because, you know, they are what they are. You know, we all watch it. I watch it. You know, only when Arsenal lose, but you know, it is funny. Mm. But I think I think it's an element of jealousy, because they've done well out of it. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's popular. Mm. You know, so it is. But unfortunately, whenever you're popular, you do get this side of things. I think there's just a little bit of, it felt like it felt like something the media have been dying for, because they don't like this fan channel stuff. They certainly don't like Arsenal fan TV. So the story of fans are turning on Arsenal fan TV, it just makes great copy, as they say. Yeah. So
the fact that TalkSport are going in on them as well, like TalkSport have some neck, because their whole thing is just getting fans to phone in and talk shy so they can make a laugh at them. You know what I mean? They're different than Arsenal fan TV. Actively, whereas Arsenal fan TV, as you said there, Chris, we'll all tune in when they lose, because you know they're going to have a meltdown. Who tunes in if they're winning? Do you know what I mean? They do a lot of stuff on that, but no one watches it when they're...
No one watches it, no. But also, as a few like the Redmond TV guys who've worked before said, like, they do have lots of different people on. It's that, no, and it's the wave society. No one gives a shit when someone's positive or tries to put a positive spin in it. You want to see some fella, everyone wants to see some fella lose his head. And that's more human society. That's the way people are today.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of stuff coming in here. Like, Jono says, I don't get the hate for Arsenal fan TV. People saying that are negative, but what is there to be positive about with Arsenal? I think it's a very fair point. Kevin Sullivan says, the AFTV stuff is harsh. They gave fans a forum. If they were successful as a club, they wouldn't be as popular. Look, Arsenal fan TV, right, and we all joke about it. We all go on about it. And look, as soon as the final whistle goes in an Arsenal game and they've lost, you're kind of going, Arsenal fan TV, straight on it, YouTube. And listen, they're an extremely, they are popular, but they have to be. I mean, they look like they're popular and successful. There's no two ways about it. But for me, and look, who am I to give them advice? I'm nobody to give them advice. But for me, just looking from the outside in, the layman, I suppose, and a supporter of another club, they've got into a succession of negativity. And what I mean by that is, Everything is negative. Like, even the name of it. It wasn't called Arsenal Fan TV. It was called Arsenal TV, wasn't it? They had to change the name, am I right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that was a negative thing that came across. They have had Robbie on TalkSport, like Keith says, that they can come across great. They're outside the ground, and they have three or four lads that are there constantly, and it comes across to me as pre-rehearsed negativity. That's just the way it is. Now, obviously, these lads figure on Arsenal Fan TV. I know there's one guy that had a row with Mark Goldbridge and stuff like that. But for me, what I would do is I'd step away from that outside the ground stuff, because you can be susceptible to pre-rehearsed 20 guys going, listen, we know they're going to be outside, you know, Everton's ground after this. We'll go up and start a chant and a few people will join in and it'll go viral. They'd be better off walking away and going, listen, we're meeting in this pub 20 minutes, half an hour after the game in a quiet corner. We do our video. Still people will watch. You're still giving the same opinion. You're just not leaving yourself susceptible to that sort of thing. And the trail of negativity that they've got themselves on, I think they need to get off it. Although trying to be positive as an Arsenal fan is a very hard thing to do. Maybe Arteta changes that. But for me, just looking from the outside in, like, we do podcasts every day of the week and we're quite positive and we can be negative over things. But when you get into that, it's a rut they're in. And the team aren't helping them out. They probably need to help themselves out by doing something slightly different and not leaving themselves that open. That's just
the problem they have. It's the whole club. It's the top. You know what I mean? It's the owner. It's the directors, the people who are running it. Like, everything about Arsenal is just toxic at the moment.
Well, keep imagine us three doing this under the Hodgson era.
Yeah.
You say that. I don't care how positive you are. No one could have been positive in that period. And it would have been, who's going to rant first? So there is also, I mean, the thing I don't buy with Arsenal Fan TV, and I think it's crap, which is they're the reason why there's pressure in the management. It is utter bollocks.
Yeah.
The reason there is pressure on Unai Emery was he couldn't win a fucking game. The reason there was pressure on Wenger was he was there for 20 years. He never won a European competition despite getting it every year. And the last 10 years of his reign, yes, he got some FA Cups, which is, you know, I'm not mocking it. You know, he won them. But they were nowhere near the league. Which is what they wanted to be, as what they were what they were sold the Emirates as. This will make us compete with Man United, compete with cities, and it didn't. So you can't then blame them for going, well, they're all negative, they're not happy about it. Well, you know, it's like us. You know, if you grew up in the '80s where Liverpool were brilliant, you were used to Liverpool winning things. So anything now is crap.
Yeah,
you know, this is why now it's like a brilliant situation for us. We're like, this is ace.
Yeah,
every time we go to a game, we're going to win. They go to a game. Every time I watch an Arsenal game, I keep thinking, like, oh, they're playing Watford at home. Oh, it might be a 3-2 Arsenal. I'm not sure, though. You know, you don't go into any Arsenal game thinking they're going to win.
No.
There's not a team in the league that you'd say, oh, geez, Arsenal will bounce off them. Now, every one of them, you're like, geez, they could get something there. And that's a terrible state. We were like that.
And that has nothing to do. Yeah. That has nothing to do. Like, somebody on the chat there, it's gone off my screen, but I remember what he said. He says, it was called Arsenal Fan TV. They had to change the name to AFTV, obviously, because using the name Arsenal in the title probably had something to do with that. Somebody else says Robbie is probably a millionaire off this, so I don't think he'd be too bothered.
Good on him.
Yeah, no, and if he is, he absolutely is. Like, I think they are, in fairness to them, I think they watch games. Now, some of it is sensationalist, and it does to get viewers. Like, and don't get me wrong, I see people, let me put it this way. I've said it a long time. Mark Goldbridge is a genius, right? Because Mark Goldbridge has come along and he said, what he's done is he's gone, I'm going to go over the top here. And if you actually listen to what he says, he makes a hell of a lot of sense. But the way he does it sensationalizes things and he gets it right. Now, I've seen people that would be Liverpool-based and other clubs-based, and they try mimic, I suppose, what Mark Goldbridge does and try to be sensationalist and try to be... They're fucking idiots, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't do that. I come on here and I'll talk to you, and if you have an opinion, you have an opinion. I'm not in this to make money or anything else. I'm not sensationalist in any way, right? It's just not in me. What way can I put it? I wouldn't feel it's the true me if I done that. That's the way I put it, right? Maybe it's these people are that is the true them. Maybe that is Mark Goldbridge. I don't believe it is. But when it comes to Arsenal Fan TV, it's very easy to look at it and go, this looks rehearsed now as being negative, 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 because this gets them numbers. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd be interested to see if Arteta went on a 6-7-8 game win and run, okay? And then watch the videos and see what the numbers are like and go, do you know what? they're just well supported. And the positivity is actually working for them as well. Lubeck says Arsenal fans are like spoiled brats. If you watch some of the stuff, listen to spoiled brats amongst every fan base, let's be honest with you.
Yeah.
Northred says no, he is a millionaire. Fact. So there you go. Let me see. Dave, I can't read out that comment. Sorry, I can't read out that comment. Dylan O'Rourke asks, getting back to the football, Dylan O'Rourke says, Emeka Hayes reckons that Jordan Henderson is the worst Champions League winning captain in 20 years. What's your opinion?
Oh, Jordan. Glad we can talk about Jordan.
Who said Henderson's the worst?
No, Dylan O'Rourke said a friend of his thinks...
get a new friend, Dylan.
Yeah, ghost him.
It bores me. It so bores me. Oh, he's the worst captain. Oh, he's... Jordan Henderson's biggest problem is unfortunately, he had to follow Steven Gerrard. And I don't know what it is, but people just got it in their head that he's shit. But it's utter bollocks. Because all I keep hearing is, this is the best Liverpool side we've seen since the early 80s. Mm-hmm. This side wins European Cup. This side is in title challenge. This side is going to be a title challenge for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. He plays every fucking week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he plays
and if it's a big game, you can be guaranteed he's in that team.
Yeah. So if he plays... Everyone tells me Klopp's brilliant, the coach is brilliant, the club's fantastic, everyone knows what they're doing, but the captain's shit. Mm. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. If he's shit, he doesn't get picked.
Yeah.
It's the usual, first of all, the general shit, sorry, I don't know me always around, but it's the usual, you're not picking my favourite player, so I'm going to pick someone I hate and just tell him he's shit, despite the fact he keeps winning everything. I don't care what he said in the telly, he was man of the match in the last final.
Mm.
You know, to me, he was the best, he was doing what a captain should do, filling in positions where people are injured, closing people down, driving the team on, sticking up for his teammates, and setting up crucial passes for winning goals. I'm not sure what else you want from a captain.
Mm.
You know,
and
he's not Steven. He's not
there, Chris. Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. He's not Steven Gerrard, and Steven Gerrard was a totally different player. He was take a bit of scruff for the neck, not get the glory, but you know, he'd do it all himself if he had to, whereas Henderson sacrifices himself every game. He sacrifices, he plugs in gaps. If Trent is going forward, it's Hendo that's covering. If Salah is staying up front, it's Hendo that's saying to him, look, you stay up there. And the amount of donkey walk that he does that doesn't get appreciated by the idiots that are watching it and criticising him, it's crazy. Like, if Jurgen Klopp thinks he's his captain and he's his fourth choice in midfield, I tell you, that's good enough for me.
For me, and I've openly said it, I'm a big fan of Jordan Henderson, right, for a number of reasons. He's extremely young when he comes to Liverpool. I think he's 20 years of age when he comes to Liverpool, maybe 21, somewhere, is he?
Around that,
yeah.
He joins in 2011, am I right?
Yeah,
so he's in around there, right? So he's probably 21, 22 years of age, somewhere around there, right? He comes from his boyhood club, which is Sunderland, into a massive club. Even where we were at the time. He does his best. He's pushed out on the right wing. He does his best. Rodgers comes in, basically tells him he doesn't want him. Tries to get Clint Dempsey. Henderson says no, walks his way in, gets into the team. He's a massive miss for us in 2013-14 when he gets sent off against City. Like, a massive miss for us, okay? He ends up becoming captain of the club under the same manager that tried to get rid of him for Clint Dempsey, right? Gerrard is more than happy for him to be captain because look at what he's done. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you that Jordan Henderson plays well every week for Liverpool, week in, week out, week in, week out. But I can tell you one thing. Jordan Henderson tries his absolute best for Liverpool every time, every facet of his life, I'd say he does his absolute best for Liverpool Football Club. Now, I watched that game yesterday and I thought he was brilliant. Like Keith said, I've watched him in games where he just sacrifices himself so much. I sat at Anfield at the start of the season and Jordan Henderson literally played the game for Mo Salah for the whole fucking game, right? And I walked out of that ground going, Jesus, people really don't get this, what he's doing. Now, I seen people online yesterday going, well, look, it's just a case of he's there at the moment and Klopp will replace him when he gets the chance. He's just replaced other players that were needed replacing quicker. Like, this is the sort of stuff you're coming up with. Jordan Henderson is the Liverpool captain, right? He's the club captain. And when we win this league, which I fully believe we will, he will go down as one of the best captains that Liverpool's ever seen, simply because he will be walking around going, first player to lead Liverpool to a title in 30 years, European Cup champion, Super Cup champion, World Club Cup champion, which no other Liverpool captain has ever done. This needs to stop, and you can't walk around going, aren't we bleeding great, but I'd love to see Jordan Henderson now. Appreciate the man for what he is. And listen, I'll argue about Jordan Henderson all day, and I've called him out when he's played poor, but to turn around after games where we've won and said, well, you know, if we had fucking, I don't know, name player X and put him in there, we would have won by more. What are you talking about? You know what I mean?
And that's it. Like, you can criticise when they deserve to be criticised. That's fair enough. But if you're going to be critical of a player, have a valid reason for being critical. Back up your opinion. You know what I mean? Don't just say, oh, he's shit. Kevin De Bruyne, it'd be better. Like, don't. Nonsense. Do you know what I mean? Like, he does the job that he's told to do. No matter what position he's playing or what role he's given, he does it to the letter that Klopp tells him.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Kevin De Bruyne as a footballer is a better footballer than Jordan Henderson. Overall. But what I'm saying
plays
is
a different role. Plays a different role, though.
100%. If you ask Kevin De Bruyne to come into this Liverpool side and say, Kev, listen, I don't want you flying forward, lashing in crosses, shooting, breaking lines. I want you to literally hang around this area, let Mo Salah go and do his thing, and I need you to be the first man back if we get caught in the break. Kevin De Bruyne is
covered the right back there, Kev.
He's not going to do it. Do you know what I mean?
No, he's not. I'll give him a shout. Adam Smith, who's of Anfield Rap, contributor. He wrote a great article on it, and what he says is this: is like most Henson fans. Like, I'm a Henson fan, so is Gav. But the difference between Henson fans and the anti-Henson lot is, Henson fans will say this is what he's good at, but when he has a shitter, and look, you, me, and Gav all said at the beginning of the season, he was having a couple of shit games. We all said he probably should be. He needs to be dropped for a couple of games. He's having a shit time. We'll openly say he needs to be dropped sometimes when he's having a shit time, because you know what? All players have it.
I've seen Steven Gerrard have many a poor game. Jamie Carragher have many a poor game. Fernando Torres, Suarez, you name them. And I've seen them all play poorly.
Yeah. No. What people forget about Gerrard is, and it's like sacrilege to say this now, because he is a legend at Liverpool. But there was a time, and I can remember the game, when Mascherano got sent off against United. There was loads and loads of shit about Gerrard, because if there's to Gerrard, he didn't do what the way he captained wasn't like at the end of the season where he would get in people's faces, he would have a go at the ref. He didn't do that in his early days as captain. He was quite quiet. And basically, Mascherano got himself there. He got a bit bullied into getting out. Gerrard didn't do anything. He was very quiet. And there was loads of shouts at that time was, give it to Carragher. Now, people forget that now, because he went out the career he didn't. He's a brilliant player. And you know, he's arguably one of Liverpool's greatest ever captains. But you know what? All players go for shit points. I just don't get this, and this is the world we're in. It's black and white. He's either great or he's shit. He can't just go, well, he is what he is. Every player has their benefits. There are players in the Liverpool squad that aren't my cup of tea, but they have their benefits. And when I've already shouted out Lallana, I've already shouted out Lovren. They're not always my cup of tea. You know, I've openly admitted and, I've had Matip put egg on my face last year because I said Matip was crap. I said he got bullied easily. I don't know why we pick him. As soon as he got a run of games, do you know what? You were like, Champions League final. I was like, well, hands up.
Yeah. No, like,
lads, brilliant.
They're not letting us down.
Nobody's letting us down. And so, I come across people where I think, you know what, you'd like us to lose, so they can turn around and say, oh, well, I told you, didn't I? Like JJ Babb says there, they wanted Hendo out for a long time, but I take my hat off. He's converted me, and people pick on him first. David says, yeah, but De Bruyne is not that type of player, so in my opinion, that's not a fair comparison. Kevin De Bruyne plays in the A for Manchester City. He plays in one of those positions in midfield for Manchester City. And so does Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson plays it a certain way, and Kevin De Bruyne plays it a certain way. But would I put Henderson in Man City's team to do what De Bruyne does? No. Would I put De Bruyne in Liverpool's side to do what Henderson does? No. Would I like to see them both in the same team? Absolutely. But look, before we
And that's why I wasn't trying to compare saying Henderson was better than De Bruyne, but that's the sort of stuff you get from the Henderson out brigade.
Yeah.
Or Kevin De Bruyne, Christian Eriksen, name any number of players. There's a list as long as your arm that they want her to play some.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in there all the time doing the business.
Yeah, Lubak mentions Marco Grew, which is another player who deserves a chance next season. Going to chat about him in January, actually. Kev O'Sullivan says we have a 24-man squad and not one single player complains about not playing. That's unheard of. That never happens anywhere. Last question of the night from Dylan O'Rourke. In light of your night on the gargle on Friday night, Gav, what is your go-to recovery meal after a piss-up? So basically, instead of, you can have something on the way home from the pub, or you can have something the next day that puts you back on track. And it's really good. I suppose this is, we're serving the community here. We're helping out the community, I suppose, yeah, by putting this forward, because people are going to have drink over the Christmas and they're going to need recovery. So, Chris, I'll let you go first. What is your meal of recovery, whether on the night or whether the next day?
Right. It depends where I'm going. If I'm out in Liverpool, at the end of the night, we always go for an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be no good for you, Gav.
Never had one.
We'll have to correct that. I actually quite enjoy a full English the next day. It tends to soak it all up.
Mm-hmm.
The key for me, I've always found, is have 2 pints of water before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really really good advice, actually, as well. You see, we're serving the community here. Keith, you're out on it for the night. You're on the way home. You can have something, or you can have something the next day. What are you going for?
Multitasking, big manky Chinese.
Yeah.
Leave half of it for my breakfast the next morning.
Oh, that's a show. Yep. Show. Chemical Kev says bacon sandwiches with potato waffles instead of bread. I'd have a go at that. Yeah, I'd absolutely would, yeah. Stephen Mack has a full fry up the next morning. Let me see. JJ says, how can we criticise these players? Just enjoy. Avo says, would De Bruyne play the ball to Sadio yesterday? No, because he plays for City and they're not world champions and we are. Very good. I like that. Kev O'Sullivan says, breakfast roll, sausage, egg, bacon, black pudding and mushrooms with brown sauce.
Black pudding.
Black pudding's amazing.
That's fucking vile.
Oh no, it's amazing.
It's fucking vile. It's fucking vile.
Not in Ireland, it's not. It's amazing.
No.
Megan McCallion says curry chips and cheese with taco. She's fitting them all in there.
That's a new one.
Fucking hell. I need to bring a defibrillator to the pub with me if I fucking was getting that in the way on. But look, lads, that's it. We're going to leave it at that. I think we're about an hour. We're messing now at this stage. That's been the Fatback 4 Daily for your Sunday night. It's our last Fatback 4 Daily before Christmas, so I want to wish everybody a really happy Christmas. Enjoy it. Have a few drinks if that's what you like to do. Look, spend time with your family. Have a great time if you're off work, and absolutely enjoy it. And look, the club will be recorded tomorrow night. That'll be out for you tomorrow night. I will be back hopefully on the 26th after the Leicester game. We will be back after the Wolves game. We'll be back after the Sheffield United game, and then we get back to some sort of normality with the show going forward. Chris, thanks a million for joining us.
No, thanks for having us, mate. Have a good Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, you too. Keith, thanks a million for joining us, and I will speak to you tomorrow night because we're back on together again.
You will indeed. Happy Christmas to everyone.
Good stuff. That's been it. That's us. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy and listen. The world champions, up the Reds.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Because there's only one you, Vuse Alto is the vape as unique as you are. With Vuse by You, you can make your unique mix with any of 7 colors, 3 flavors, 3 nicotine levels, and infinite wrap designs. So how will you do? You! Make Vuse Alto a vape that is yours, in store now. Discover more at Vuse.com. Vuse. Charge beyond. Vapor products. Underage sale prohibited. Website and offers restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers.
Time to fire up the grill.
Time to go to Total Wine and find the perfect flavor to pair with those burgers.
Ooh, I love their beer cooler.
You love their prices even more.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.